Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Issues 2021. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita Manager Robert Layton. Welcome to Issues 2021, sir.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be with you.
It appears the pandemic is not over yet with the Delta variant attacking the unvaccinated. What's happening at City Hall? Are masks still required for visitors?
No, they're not, Steve. After CDC and, more importantly, OSHA came out with their guidance for workplace safety, we lifted the mask requirement. What we've said is that if you are vaccinated, you're not required to wear a mask in any of our city facilities. And if you are not vaccinated, we strongly encourage you to wear them to protect our employees and the other residents that are in our buildings. But we don't have a strong mask requirement.
Are city employees masking up still?
Not a lot are, not at this point. It's something we're talking about, especially with the CDC coming out this week with new guidance on masks in public spaces. But we haven't done anything yet to change our policy.
Are city employees required to be vaccinated?
No, they're not. They're strongly encouraged to vaccinate. What I will tell you, though, is we're not going without protection for our customers and residents and employees. We have maintained all of the distancing requirements that went into place during the peak of the pandemic. Also, our employees that interface with the public are protected by plexiglass, and we're going to keep those safeguards in place at least for the next year.
Let's talk a little bit about our police chief, Gordon Ramsay, who he's not making any secret about the fact that he's applied for that job in Austin, Texas, and he's apparently one of the seven finalists down there. What are your feelings about Chief Ramsay looking for a job?
Steve, that's news to me. When did that happen?
Hey, where you been?
I know. I'm kidding. obviously. Well, you know, when you build a good team, you expect at times you're going to lose members to better career opportunities. And, you know, Austin is twice our size. The department is of a significant size as well. And, you know, Gordon was forthright with me, told me that it was an intriguing opportunity for him for personal as well as professional reasons. And he has family in the Austin area. And so I would never stand in the way of somebody pursuing an opportunity. Selfishly, I hope that he doesn't get offered the job or decide to take it. But if for some reason he does leave us, he will be leaving a department that's better than when he got here.
We hired him in 2016. How long had you been here when that hire took place?
I arrived in 2009, so I've been here for a little while.
So you had a couple of chiefs, haven't you?
I have, Chief Williams and now Chief Ramsay.
Okay.
And then some interim in between.
I think they say that the average for a police chief is about 5 years, something like that, in any job before they move on.
Right. And that happens with a lot of local government management positions. There does tend to be some turnover, especially for those that are really skilled and doing great work. Gordon has been, I think, indicative of the type of leader you need in the 21st century for the type of issues that face the police department.
All right, let's talk about something else. How about the non-discrimination ordinance attracted a lot of attention? Did you expect that to happen?
Well, I think we all knew that there would be strong opinions on both sides on that issue. So, like any civil rights issue, I wasn't surprised. Mm.
What's the status on the ordinance right now?
Well, the council is working through a process of obtaining more community input and guidance that they've asked for the Diversity, Inclusion, and Civil Rights Commission, Advisory Board, to provide feedback to them. I think they're also looking at ways to reach out to various leaders in the community to hear from them before they consider it for a final vote.
The new Riverfront Stadium's up and running, of course. And what does that mean to the city in terms of tax revenue?
That's a great question. First of all, what it means is that we generate the sales tax revenue, and then from the associated development, the property tax revenue necessary to help pay off the debt. And, again, by them having a good season, they're averaging, I think, over 4,000 a night. That's putting people in seats. They're buying tickets. They're buying concessions. And that's providing a cash flow to help pay the debt. But probably more importantly, it's bringing people downtown. There's an electric feeling when you go to a game. I know the Delano businesses have really prospered from the games and the activities at the stadium, and it just it's a great resurgence for the West Bank area of downtown.
Now, tell us about development on the East Bank of the Arkansas downtown. Is the city considering that big plan that was trotted out by persons unknown the other day? What's the story there?
Yes, Steve. I don't know. When you find somebody who can tell you the story, let me know. I had a short meeting with the group just to see the plan. Nothing different than what's already been shared publicly. I would say that it's in its infancy. It's just a concept at this point. There hasn't been any serious discussion about the implementation of any of it, and so. I, like you and others in the community, are just waiting to see how they move forward and what their next step would be.
Well, that's certainly, I got to tell you, the momentum, we had a lot of momentum going on some of these projects, and it seems like that pandemic came along and just took all the wind out of the sails.
Yes, it did. There's no doubt about it. We were all focused on the pandemic, its impact on our day-to-day lives and our businesses. But I won't. I have a feeling that there is a lot of momentum right now. There is, I think, a lot of enthusiasm about getting back to some new normal. The activities that we have throughout the community are picking up again. I know you're aware of the programming at Nafsker Park, and there are so many other venues that are now gearing up for entertainment and family activities. And I think we've come out of the pandemic pretty well, and I think we're all hoping that there isn't going to be a significant impact from the Delta variant, and that'll depend on how we as a community continue to fight the virus. But I think the only thing, our only project that has suffered during this and lost momentum is the East Bank project, and I'm not sure that's a bad thing. It was becoming a divisive community discussion about whether or not to save C2. And as you and I know, there's more to it than that. It's a redevelopment of the riverfront, but it needs to be done in a way that the community can support. So I welcome the slowdown and the opportunity to have more community discussions about what makes sense on the East Bank.
So right now, we're going to talk about arts, entertainment, and the trade shows. We're just kind of waiting for that to get going again, regenerate some momentum there. Century 2. Are we going to have a Century 2 or not? It's still up in the air, isn't it?
Sure. So I'm moving forward, at least in short term, assuming that Century 2 will remain in place. And my job is to make sure that we're operating that facility to the best of our ability, that we invest in it in a way that it's an attractive facility for events, whether it's cultural events or convention events. The best way to do that, in my mind, is to bring in some outside expertise. And in August, we're going to be bringing a recommendation to the city council to hire a private firm to help us operate and maintain the facility and to provide recommendations for capital improvements for the convention center and for the round building. And I just want to make sure that we're in the best spot for the use of that facility for as long as it's here. And the nice thing about this company is that we'll be taking a more proactive approach. We're not going to sit back and wait for conventions to come to us, but they're going to help in terms of the convention business, but more importantly, bringing other entertainment and filming a lot of the dark days and nights in the facility. So I'm really excited about the opportunity.
Well, you know, another thing that another building that got, I think a lot of people rediscovered, was the library building. And we're going to try to preserve that in some way. I'm talking about the old library there with its beautiful open glass and open space. Is it going to try to maintain that in some way?
Steve, I think so. Again, we don't have any firm plans for the future of that building. But when people went into that building to get vaccinated, you're right, they rediscovered it. And when you take out all of the stacks of books and the offices that kind of kept you from seeing the beautiful venue, it was, I think it was a surprise to everyone. And I'm not the biggest fan of brutalist architecture, so that's not why I'm fond of the building. I am fond of it because of the potential, whether it's for a public or a private use. I've had a number of companies come to me and say, hey, can we buy it? We'd love to have it as an office or a headquarters building.
Wow.
I don't really know that that's where we'll be going. I think there's a lot of interest in keeping it as a public building, but it does have some potential.
You're listening to Issues 2021 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. Let's talk about the budget for the coming year. How much money will the city spend?
we'll spend over $600 million if the council adopts the recommended budget.
Okay. And how's that compare?
And then we also, at the same time, the council will be adopting our capital improvement program, which is a 10-year program for all of our infrastructure improvements, and that's almost a $2 billion document or budget.
So $600 million, what does that compare with last year or the year before?
We have a slight increase in our expenses, and that includes everything that we do. When I talk about it's actually $670 million. So, if I round up, it's closer to $700 million. That's a slight increase from last year, but that doesn't include just our normal operations. That includes water and sewer and our capital expenses and our debt.
Well, revenue flow going to be a sufficient? Are you going to have enough tax money coming in to make that happen?
Well, we're going to be okay, but it's only because of the federal assistance that we received to help us recover both as a city and as a community from the impact of the pandemic. We're going to receive about $72 million in what's called ARPA funding over a two-year period from the federal government, and that will allow us to offset some of the losses that we experienced and to bolster our services. And about $50 million of that $72 million will be used for that purpose. And then the remainder will be used for what we call community initiatives to help with various projects that will move us towards a quicker recovery. And I can tell you, we've gone through some significant public engagement already, and we've got three categories that have been rated high by the community where we would target some or all of that $20 million.
No property tax levy increase, I presume?
No. Levy will remain the same, which is, 25 years that we have been at that same levy rate.
Oh, I think you should boost it just so we could have something different. What do you think?
Well, you know what? It's easy for you to say that, but I don't think I'll be making that recommendation.
There you go. Are we talking about how about taking care of the city employees? Are they going to get some increases, you think?
Well, one of the policies that the council has asked us to consider and that they'll consider in the adoption of the budget is to get us to the equivalent of a minimum wage of $15 for our employees. We'll do that in discussions with our employees, and we're going through negotiations now with a few of our unions. We'll sit down with the others and then come up with a plan that makes sense from an employee standpoint.
You know, we're seeing right now, or hearing and seeing news stories about putting people back to work after the pandemic, and a lot of places just can't find people to go to work. But Chief Ramsey recently told me WPD is having no problem attracting prospective police officers. How about that?
No, I think that's great, and in most of our departments, we are seeing a number of people applying for jobs. I won't say record level, but we are getting candidates for hiring, but we're also losing a lot of people. I do think the pandemic took a toll on folks. Some folks are looking for different opportunities, and some, I think, are frankly just want to take a break. And so at times we're seeing more go out the door than we have coming in the door. And also, just a reminder, during the pandemic, in order to balance our budget, we did hold vacant a number of positions, over 300, and half of those will be restored this year because of the federal money that we received.
Okay, so half are going to be, somebody's going to be hired there.
Correct, yeah, yeah. Yep, which is important to the public because we had to cut back services. Some of them made sense, right? We didn't operate our pools, we couldn't operate our rec centers or a lot of our recreation programming. We had to really cut down on what we did with the libraries. All of those are coming back. We also cut back on our park maintenance efforts because we just didn't have the cash to do it. That's all being restored, and our forestry department will be back at full strength. So those are things that I know are important in terms of our day-to-day service delivery.
Let's talk a little bit more about capital expenses. You told me, what was it told? You told me 14?
Almost $2
billion. $2 billion? Over what time frame? Not in 1 year, probably.
Over a 10-year period.
Over 10 years. What, yep. What are a couple of the big projects you're looking at there?
Well, the largest project is under construction right now, and that's the construction of a new water plant. But then right behind that comes an improvement to our sewer system, I'm sorry, and reconstruction of our current sewer operation. And that's so that we can meet federal guidelines for clean water. And, you know, both of those projects probably account for, maybe $800 million mm-hmm. Over a period of time.
Well, the water, back to the water, we've been kind of working on that for quite a while now. I mean,
right. But it's just under construction now, so we're still funding it.
Okay.
And we'll be paying off the debt on that for, a number of years.
Another big project would be what?
Well, it's not sexy, but it's surely in demand, and I hear from our residents on a frequent basis, and that's our street system and street maintenance. And over the 10-year period, we've got about $163 million allocated for upgrade and improvement to our streets.
Yeah.
And that continues to rise. So over a 10-year period, that averages $16 million. When I got here, we were probably putting in $2 to $4 million, depending on the year. So that's, you can see how much the council has increased the priority for street maintenance.
Yeah, if you say it's not sexy, but if you hit one of those potholes, whoo-ha-ha.
Oh, I know. And the problem is you either hit or avoid that same pothole day in and day out. So
yeah.
It's so important for us to get the streets upgraded. And I, like I said, I hear from residents about that all the time. The other things that are important to us, you know, is a continued commitment to public safety. And we have police stations or substations throughout the community, and we'll be building new substations over the 10-year period. So there'll be four of those constructed. The first one will be the East Substation, and then we'll be, I believe, remodeling and upgrading six of our fire stations as well.
Yeah, what about the fire department? We hear a lot about the police department, and over the past year at least, what about the fire department? We had this controversy over at the county with the ambulances. Don't city rescue squads go with every ambulance call or for most ambulance calls? Yeah, what's the problem?
Well, on our fire units, we have first responders, and those are folks who are trained in EMS. And when they arrive at the scene, they're the first ones to provide help until the EMS can arrive and a paramedic can arrive on the scene. So it's a very important part of the delivery of, you know, public safety services or emergency medical services. We've had some concerns about a slow erosion of our service levels. And as a result of that, we're in the middle of a study right now to determine if there's a better way to deploy our staff and our equipment and whether or not we need additional resources. And the council has put aside $1 million in the next year's budget to help us implement any recommendations that come from that study to go ahead and enhance our service levels. We want to make sure that we don't have any kind of controversy regarding how long it takes us to arrive at a scene.
I'm going to get kind of personal for just a second here. This pandemic, and if I'm in a lot better frame of mind now than I was during the middle of that thing. But I got to tell you, I had some dark days, and I had friends who said, basically, frankly, I've been depressed about this. And it seems like a lot of males over the age of 50. Do you have any of those dark days when all of this was going on?
Steve, I really didn't. I think it's because of the challenges that we were facing on a regular basis here. But I'll tell you, I was tired a lot, and I just got away for a week vacation, and it was the first time I'd been able to really decompress since this all started. And I encourage everyone who has felt that pressure, and even if you don't think you're feeling it, get away and find a way not to worry about the day-to-day activities at work,
yeah.
Because it's, you know, mental health days are really important, and I think we're seeing the impact on a lot of folks and a lot of industries.
We just see this economy trying to recover, and there are little things, so the labor thing for one. There are no new cars.
Right.
Yeah. None. That amazes me that for lack of computer chips, we can't get new cars in America. And I don't understand why somebody can't solve that. And it's just that those are little things. Generally, I can go to a restaurant and all that. That's fine. But, gosh, I feel for the guys at the car lots. They can't sell their cars.
I know. But I'm sure they got a nice backlog. And so once they start producing again, everybody will be driving.
That's another point. The economy's, you think the economy's looking good with this. I mean, Boeing is starting to perk. And with that, Spirit's coming along. And some of those big manufacturing jobs coming back, that's going to be good for our economy.
Well, I think so. My biggest concern right now is the short term. You mentioned that some businesses are having a hard time getting employees or candidates for job applicants.
Yeah.
And so I told you we're going to use about $20 million of our ARPA money, our federal money, and we're going to try to put a portion of that aside for small business assistance and some for workforce training. And this is a great time to be looking at diversifying our economy. We've talked about that for probably 20-plus years in this community. This is a great time to hit that restart button. Make sure that our aviation companies are strong, but let's find other lines of work that makes sense. And I think there's some folks that are looking at that. And then I'm also really excited about something that's going on at Wichita State's Innovation Campus, and that is what they call a smart manufacturing facility. And that allows people to look at how we're going to use artificial intelligence and robotics and all of that, and that'll keep us from being the next Detroit, right? We want to be on the cutting edge of manufacturing, and I think some really good days are ahead of us.
Honestly, that diversification thing, that's been talked about since the late 60s. But there's always been this up-and-down cycle with the aircraft. If we could accomplish that and get two or three other things going, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Well, I think we have the right people in the right places right now that are big thinkers that are going to help us move in that direction.
Hmm. Well, see, what you need to do is find some computer that's got artificial intelligence to tell you what to do next artificial intelligence.
I know we're going to run out of time, but I did want to tell you one other big initiative that we're working on is affordable housing. And I think you'll see some exciting things coming out of City Hall later this fall. That will help us jumpstart housing construction for entry-level housing. And that's so important in this community.
All right. Well, I think we've covered almost everything. We've got about 40 seconds left. Is there anything you want to say that I haven't covered here, sir?
Well, Steve, as always, it's been great to visit with you. I hope things are going well for you and all of our audience. I really am looking forward to what the end of 21 and next year, 2022, will bring to us. I think we're going to see some really exciting things in Wichita.
Could be good. All right. As always, thanks for spending some time with us, and we appreciate it. Consider that budget going forward over the next couple of weeks here at City Hall. Thank you, sir. Wichita City Manager Robert Layton, our guest this week. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2021. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.